Right, let me welcome you to this second session in which we are going to talk about music and the visual arts. And I just want to, at the very beginning, talk about the three presenters. First, Sharada Patesa, University of Trinidad and Tobago, Indian Music in Trinidad, Sounding the Landscape. And I have to say that she's very well qualified to speak on this topic, because she is one of the Caribbean's most accomplished sitar players. She's really very excellent, and she does public performances throughout the Caribbean, and I think she's going to do one in Wimbledon. When is that going to be? Yes, right. So, yes, that's in what's the date? July, 26th of July. No, that's, yeah. But so you should ask her where that's going to be, because she's really a very accomplished sitar player, which gives her real authority to be doing her PhD on this topic of Indian music in Trinidad, the crossover, the synthesization of what we brought from India towards the creation of a Caribbean gharana of music. And she's certainly doing very well so far, and therefore she's very qualified to talk on that topic. And the second presentation is going to be by Premnath Gupta, who also comes from the University of Trinidad and Tobago. And he's going to talk about the role of Indian films in the creation of the Indian identity in Trinidad. And I can say that he has been doing excellent work so far. And I have learned so very much from the research that he is doing. And I'm quite certain that once he's finished, and he's doing the Indian films in Trinidad as well as in Guyana, because the person who introduced Indian films in Trinidad in 1935, Ranjit Kumar from India, also went over with these films to Guyana. So in fact, he would be talking about Indian music, the role of Indian films in Trinidad, but he would equally be referring to Guyana, because Guyana had become a very important repository, a receiving place for these Indian films that were introduced in Trinidad in 1935. And the third presentation is Dr. Roshni Kempadu, who is a London-based media artist, photographer, and reader in media practice at the School of Humanities, University of East London. Sometime, I think it was earlier this year or late last year, we had her do a public presentation at the University of Trinidad and Tobago, and we were all really very pleased with her presentation, and I told her today that we have additional collections of excellent photographs of the sugar industry in Trinidad, and when she comes next, we'll make these available to her. So I think we'd now begin by asking Sharada to take up to 20 minutes and make a presentation.
Right, good afternoon. Thanks, Professor Samaru. Right, the subject of my paper this afternoon is really chutney music, chutney and chutney soca, which are two forms which have been identified with the Indo-Trinidadian, to use that term again, population. I'd like to begin the paper with a quotation from one of the former chutney soca monarchs, Solo Gidhari, whose family is very well known in the music field in Trinidad. And he says, and to quote, "These singers nowadays don't know if they come in or they go in. This chutney business is a whole mess, and even I confused." Now, the whole coming and going reflects two things. I mean, it's a Trinidadian phrase to represent the instability, confusion, right? And the quotation establishes two major points that I'd like to talk about in the debates on chutney. One is a confusion with regard to defining the term chutney soca, or defining chutney as a genre of music, because when chutney soca came onto the scene in 1983, it caused a bit of confusion, because the terms are now being used interchangeably. So you'd hear chutney soca and people would say it's a chutney. You hear chutney and they would say it's chutney soca. So there's a lot of confusion going on. And it presents a problem when judging competitions, right? So, because there are no fixed criteria. And second, I think that the term also represents that relationship between India and Trinidad via these musical forms. And that unstable relationship that still exists. Okay. So before proceeding to look at the forms, and I'll present to you some music clips and video clips, I'd like to define what chutney is and how the term came about. It's defined as, chutney is generally described by Trinidadians as a hot song, spicy in nature. An Indian, however, hearing the term chutney may not say that it's spicy, because a chutney in India is it's a lot different. There are various blends of it. You have sweet chutneys and so on. But when the term came about, the chutney that we had was always spicy and hot. Right? So the use of the word spicy can be used to describe either lyrics or tempo. Though in its traditional context, the tempo generally indicated the spicy nature of the song. Therefore, even a devotional number could be made into a chutney by upping the tempo, to quote one of the interviewees. Traditional chutney would be rendered using traditional instruments, such as a dholak, dantal, and harmonium, which you'll see in a clip that I'll present to you, and was sung in the Bhojpuri language or Hindi. The genesis of chutney is located within the women's space of the matkur ceremony, which was a ceremony that took place before the wedding night, and the women would sing songs to advise the young girls, the young brides, on sex and the sexual relations with their husbands and so forth. Another reason for locating it within that space is that the women's songs were characterized by a quick, straightforward style of drumming and a simple vocal style that did not require technical vocal movements that would be found in the men's style of singing. So the men also had what were termed breakaway songs, which was very similar to chutney as well. And that was also done in very straightforward drumming style, but they still had a bit of flexibility in the vocal movements and so. So chutney singing became identified as a style of singing in 1970 when one singer, Sundar Lal Bahora, or otherwise known as Sundar Popo, attempted a local touch and emerged with the first chutney, Nani and Nana, which I'll show to you in a while. However, the song itself doesn't, in tempo, doesn't signify any spiciness. The lyrics as well doesn't. So therefore, how do we characterize it as chutney? That's the first problem. So even from the point of it's the start of it, we had a bit of a problem. The combination of Hindi and English lyrics is evident. A trend that had begun as early as the 1900s, when women and men alike would sing songs describing the dress of the Englishman or the indentureship experiences and so on. However, as a public performance on a national stage, this was new. Thus began the movement towards experimentation with a form that could be identified as Indo-Trinidadian, still identifiably Indian in its melodic composition, but Western or Trinidadian in its rhythmic and instrumental composition. So I'll play for you now a traditional chutney, and what you would see is the way in which the artists sit even to perform. Now this is just one version. Not all of them sit this way, right? But it's just a representation of how something that was a participatory form of music comes onto the stage in a presentational manner, but they still maintain a sort of folk aesthetic in it.
And the daughter of renowned classical singer, Lab of India. Tonight, she's accompanied by
That's a Dolak. A Dantal is that metal rod. And you'll see the harmonium, which a singer is playing. That's just a little snippet of your traditional chutney song. Okay? The other one is called Nani and Nana, which was the first chutney that came out by Sundar Popo. And notice the musical composition is the instrumentation is a bit different. Right. Now, what you'd notice is that it begins with Hindi. It goes into then a mixture of lyrics. And what you have in that new chutney is the addition of the bass guitar, which gives it, it's an importation from the calypso scene. So you have the music interacting at this point with each other. The dholak is still retained. That's the drum. It's still retained, and the bass guitar takes up the rhythm of the dholak, but just on stress points. Okay, so there's an 8-4 timing for those more technical with music is concerned, and the bass guitar does a variation of that 8-4 timing. So chutney soca would add yet another dimension. Cited as a combination of soca, which was a mixture of Indian and African rhythm, and chutney, perhaps in its language, thematic content, melody, and the instrumentation, chutney soca complicated matters. Tempo seemed to be the major difference in identity, and eventually English lyrics, which began to take a more prominent position as time went by. Thus, if you ask a chutney musician to define a chutney song, they would define it by instrumentation. So they would say the use of traditional instruments like the harmonium, dholak, and dantal, while chutney soca would be anything that would be played with electronic instruments. But some say that it should have dholak, some say it should have tassa, which is another drum and sound. Some say it should have both. So there seems to be a sort of haziness, even among the musicians, in defining what exactly chutney is versus what a chutney soca is. And this, well, as I said earlier, poses a problem for judging competitions because there are no fixed criteria. Well, nowadays, in the last 2 years, the competitions, they've stopped judging it using formal judges. They judge via text messages coming in from the public. So I guess it's now being based on the popularity of the singer rather than, you know, the song or musicianship, as the case might be. But deeper than the issue of competitions and judging criteria is that of ownership and belonging to a national space, where African contribution to national culture is the steel pan and calypso. The question is, what is the Indo, or was the Indian contribution? How does this chutney or chutney soca reflect a Trinidadian sensibility? My own view via my research and the analysis of the forms is that perhaps the time has now come for a revisioning of the word itself, the terminology, chutney, and the original meaning of it. And also, there's another thing that crops up in the chutney scenario, and that's mimicry. Because critics of chutney say that all the chutney musicians are doing is mimicking Indian films. So there's no innovation going on. They're taking old film melodies and imposing on that nonsense lyrics, as they say, and that's it. You have a chutney soca, so anybody could sing a chutney soca. My view is that that whole issue of mimicry also needs to be revisited, because it's a new form. We're now beginning to sort of come to our own musical identity as Indians, and it needs to start from somewhere. And I think that the whole chutney soca scenario, chutney scenario, is that space in which that experimentation is taking place. And one of the significant things is how they use the film melodies. Previously, for instance, one interview that I spoke to says that, well, you don't see how they're taking all the good Indian film songs and look at what they're doing with them, right? They're making stupidness, they're making nonsense out of them. An older musician would have taken a song, for instance, that would have been done in a patriotic context in a film and created a song that was patriotic in nature, right? Or they may take a birthday song from an Indian film and create a birthday song in Trinidad, right? So it needed to maintain the context, but the musicians now are not doing that anymore. They are now appropriating the film melodies to suit the context of where the chutney soca is going. And just to give you an example, I'll play you two clips, and I'll play you the original clip of the movie that it comes from, and then how it's being used now in the chutney soca scenario. So that's your original song, right? What's your mood? The mood is basically it's nostalgia. It's a bit of sadness, right? Romance, everything mixed up in one day. Now, this is the chutney soca version of this song.
I don't know what I wear next. Nah.
You want me to Right, so, girl, you knew I was a drinker. You knew when you got married to me that I was a drinker. So you can't change me. That's basically what your song says. Next one. Right, so this one is basically a celebration of life. Translated, it means let's sing a song, and Geet Gaata Chalo Saathi Guna, let's sing a song of friends, and you know, basically celebrate life with a song on your lips. Now, this is your Chutney Sukha version of it. Again, I suppose a celebration of life via rum, alcohol, I don't know. So what we're saying here is a repositioning of that relationship with India. I think what the modern Chutney Sukha artists are doing is there's a sort of irreverence now when they deal with Indian music, Hindi film songs. Isn't that sort of reverence that the older musicians would have paid to it? And they're coming into their own saying, well, this is ours. And if India could do it, we could do the same thing with their music. Okay, that's it. Thanks.